Good morning, dear New Gen family. I really hope that you've had an excellent start to the new year so far. It feels like slowly the year is starting to pick up again as the gears start turning again after the holidays. Some people are already back from vacation, some people are back at work already. The shops are screaming back to school specials at us, and the Cape is emptying out again. Maybe you are so excited, you are rearing and ready to go for this new year. Maybe you feel like you're still recovering from 2021. Maybe like me, you're still scrambling for a 2022 year planner or diary. One thing that is super common at this time of the year is all the talk of New Year's resolutions. And I feel like you either hate them or you love them. Or you're in that group of people that don't want to call them resolutions, you rather call them goals because you want to be different. So whether you are the type to write New Year's resolutions or goals or not, it does feel like there's always a sense of newness and freshness at the start of the new year. And I really enjoyed Rob's message about being resolute from last week. I really want to encourage you to go listen to that if you missed out. It was such a good place to start the year from, and just to hear about prioritizing, what are we choosing to be resolute about, and just to have an idea of that in mind for this year. So as we get going into the rest of this morning, I just have two really simple but also really significant things to mention. And though these things are small in themselves, I think they have big potential to really change the kind of year 2022 will be for us as individuals. And the first thing is Bible reading plans. Now, the point of a Bible reading plan is not to religiously commit to day after day going through a 3-year rigorous Bible reading process and then just to tick that scripture box off. No, the point is to spend time with God. The point is to daily get into His Word and to connect with Him and to invite the Holy Spirit into those moments. And a Bible reading plan just makes that a little bit easier for us. For me, as a mom of 3 little boys, this is really a challenge for me to daily get into Scripture. So I'm so grateful for a tool like this. I really want to encourage you to go visit our website. We have gathered together 5 different reading plans, all different kinds, depending on where you're at, depending on your lifestyle, depending on your personality. There's systematic ones. There are all over the place ones. There's a 1-year one, going through the Bible. There is a 3-month one. So go take a look. You can find that on our website, newgen.co.za/BRP. And we're not even halfway through January, so it really isn't too late to get into one of those and to start the year off with this little habit that can really change the kind of year this will be. The second thing I want to mention, the small but significant thing, is fellowship groups. Now again, the point of a fellowship group is not to religiously show up week after week, drink the coffee, and tick the church box. No, the point of our fellowship groups, these small groups, is community. You need a church community. I need a church community. We are made for church family. And you have a contribution to bring to your group. So why don't you make this year the year where you commit to not just joining a fellowship group, but actually being part of one. This is where we eat together, we laugh, we worship, we break bread, our kids run wild, we make new friendships, we mourn losses, and we celebrate victories. We trust God together, we learn and we grow and we share. It really is such an important part for us as a New Gen family, and this is how we express church. And it's so important for us to get knitted and to get stuck in. So that small but big habit of weekly being part of a group can really change the kind of year that this is for you. Having a community around you, having friends around you, having people to share with and to grow with. And we encourage and we challenge each other. And God really works in those groups in such a wonderful way. If you want to find out more, go to our website, newgen.co.za, and browse to the Connect tab. And in there, you will find out more about our Sunday fellowship groups and find one in your area. Get in touch with the leaders and don't miss out on becoming part of one this year. They'll all be kicking off at different times throughout January, depending on when people are starting off the year. So don't miss out on being part of that. Right, so we're about to get going into the rest of this morning. We're going to get into the kids' story and kids' worship, and then we're going to do things differently. We're going to hear directly after that from the one and only Josh. So I'm very excited for that. And I trust that it's going to be a really special morning for us. So let's pray together. Let's commit the rest of the morning to God and trust that He has something to say to us and that He will be speaking to us. Yeah, Father, we thank You for this new year. We thank You for where we are. We thank You for all the things that You have taught us over the past year. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would give us the discernment to bring with us the things that You have taught us and to leave behind the things that are unhelpful. God, I pray that You would stir up in us an excitement for what You are doing this year. I thank You, God, just for the prospect of growing this year, of learning this year, of growing deeper with You, Father. I pray that our hearts would reach out to You, Father. Thank You for Your unconditional love. Thank You that You meet us exactly where we're at and that You've got something to say to each one of us this morning. I pray that our hearts would be open to hear what You have to say. Holy Spirit, move in us. Have Your way amongst us. Be glorified in our hearts. Now, in this moment, this morning, and throughout the whole year, I pray that You would show us and teach us and help us, God. We need all the help we can get from You, Holy Spirit. Show us how to be resolute. Not in the things that don't matter, but in the things, the big things, the things of faith. The things of trusting You, God. Help us to be resolute, Father. Thank You for Your continuous faithfulness, God, that never, ever fails us. When we fail, You are always there. When we are weak, You are strong, God. Thank You, Father. We love You. Amen.
Running away. Jesus told this story about a boy who ran away. Once upon a time, there was a boy and his dad. Now, one day the boy gets to thinking, maybe if I didn't have my dad around telling me what is good for me all the time, I'd be happier. He's spoiling my fun, he thinks. Does my dad really want me to be happy? Does my dad really love me? The son never thought of that before, but suddenly he doesn't know anymore. So the son goes to his father and says, Dad, I'm better off without you. I can look after myself. Just give me my share of your money. His father's sad, but he won't force his boy to stay, so he gives his son what he wants. The son takes the money and goes on a long, long journey to a far-off country. And everything's wonderful and perfect for a while. He can go wherever he wants. Do whatever he wants, be whoever he wants. He is the boss. He is free. Sometimes he gets a strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart. But then he just eats more, or drinks more, or buys more clothes, or goes to more parties until it goes away. But soon his money runs out, and so do his friends. He ends up getting the only job he can find, feeding pigs. One day, he is so hungry and so desperate, he even tries some piggy food. What am I doing? He says suddenly, as if he has woken from a nightmare. He spits, yuck, all of it, ick, out of his mouth. My father's rich, and here I am in a pigsty eating piggy food. He wipes his mouth and dusts himself off. I'm going home. As he starts for home, though, he begins to worry. Oh, Dad won't love me anymore. I've been too bad. He won't want me for his son anymore. So he practices his I'm sorry speech. All this time, what he doesn't know is that day after day, his dad had been standing on his porch, straining his eyes, looking into the distance, waiting for his son to come home. He just can't stop loving him. He longs for the sound of his boy's voice. He can't be happy until he gets him back. The son is still a long way off, but his dad sees him coming. What will the dad do? Fold his arms and frown? Shout, "That'll teach you!" and "Just you wait, young man!" No, that's not how this story goes. The dad leaps off the porch, races down the hill, through the gap, in the hedge, up the road. Before his son can even begin his "I'm sorry" speech, his dad runs to him, throws his arms around him, and can't stop kissing him. "Let's have a party," his dad shouts. "My boy's home. He ran away. I lost him. But now I have him back." Jesus told them, God is like the dad who couldn't stop loving his boy. And people are like the son who said, "Does my dad really want me to be happy?" Jesus told people this story to show them what God is like and to show people what they are like, so they could know, however far they ran, however well they hid, however lost they were, it wouldn't matter, because God's children could never run too far or be too lost for God to find them.
To think about the goodness of the Lord, He gives me everything I need and so much more. So I just wanna lift my hands and say that I love Him. I just wanna lift my heart in praise. And I wanna be faithful. I wanna be faithful. I wanna remember everything that the Lord has done. Me everything I need and so much more. So I just wanna lift my hands and say that I love Him. I just wanna lift my heart in praise. And I wanna be thankful. I wanna be grateful. I wanna remember everything that the Lord has done. I wanna be thankful. I wanna be grateful.
Hello everyone, my name is Josh. It's a great privilege to be with you today. I really hope and trust that you had an amazing time over the last month or so with your family and friends, loved ones, people you care about. Most importantly, that you just managed, no matter if you're working or not, just to rest even if it's for a moment, to take a pause, a breather, to rest most importantly in God. So I'm really excited to share with you this morning, but before I do that, perhaps I can just open up in prayer. Lord Jesus, strong and mighty, we love and adore you. We are so grateful for your hand and your work in our lives, for your faithfulness, your ongoing faithfulness in our lives. We are so blessed by you. We are so grateful for all you've done. We're so grateful for your Holy Spirit and your presence. We're so grateful for your hand in our lives. We ask God that you would come and speak to us today. You know the situations and circumstances we each find ourselves in, and pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come and meet with us and have your way. After engaging with this message, may we leave changed. And having taken what you are saying to us to heart, and may that go out into our weeks, and may that turn into action, God. May it be people who obey, not just hear. Pray, come and have your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so So when it comes to preaching at NewGen, most of the times what happens is that we're going through a series or a book of the Bible or something, and there's somewhat of a preacher's brief that has been put together. And this is probably, 75% of the times in a year. This one, however, was not one of those. This is something of a freebie. So I've been taking some time to consider what I should share about today, because it's so much easier to hear from God when you just receive a guideline, right? Okay. So those of you who know me well would know that more often than not, I wake up in the morning with a song in my head that sometimes makes its way out of my mouth sometime during the course of this morning. And it's not necessarily because I heard it on the radio the day before or we sang it at church. I mean, some of the stuff, the range of songs that comes out is from when I was a kid. It's all varieties of music. Some of it is like worship songs, but to be honest, most of it is let's just say un-Christian. In fact, one that repeats itself quite often is the Twister song. I mean, I've never even played the game Twister, and I don't know why it's stuck in my head. I like playing Twister with you, baby. I mean, it's so dodgy, but I just get stuck in my head. Listen, I didn't even share the most. I know some of you are laughing and judging me right now, but I didn't even share even close to some of the most dodgiest songs that I wake up with in my head. It's just so bizarre. And honestly, sometimes it dates back to when I was a preteen. But alas, the songs that come to my head in the morning are not always dodgy. And in fact, this past week, it's been mostly kind of old hymns and worship songs. And sometimes I don't even realize it until I'm singing it in the shower or wherever I am. But I mean, you can ask Helena. It's just the most random stuff, and it's nearly without fail. It's just so often it always happens. And I've had this experience for many, many years. It's not a new thing, and I've always enjoyed it. It's been a bit quirky, and I've had some fun with it. But I can't remember a time where I felt like God has spoken to me through this. And today, although a bit unconventional, I believe God is prompting me to share three of these songs that I woke up with in my head this week. And I want to share them with you today. And not as necessarily resolution, New Year's resolutions or anything like that, but more maybe as an encouragement, as a call to action, as a call to more in God. I'm gonna take us through three songs, and I'm going to end on the third song. This is actually the main one that I really felt prompted with this by. But let's start with the first song. So the refrain that's stuck in my head is actually from a very famous song, and the opening lines of which are directly from the Bible. The refrain is, now I'll spare you my singing version of it, but the refrain is, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. What a wonderful truth to declare going into 2022. Jesus, you alone, no one or nothing else deserves the affections and the desires of my heart. I am desperate and deeply desire to worship you in all of life. Now, regardless what this year holds for us, and I think for all of us it's going to be a little bit of good and a little bit of bad, if this is our attitude, we can't go wrong. Imagine if all our relationships and all our decisions were founded in the heart that has Jesus as our only deepest longing, and in an attitude that is desperate to honor Christ in all of life. What would our decisions look like? What would our relationships look like? In a moment, I'm going to play this song that has this refrain. It's a beautiful old hymn. I'd love for you to engage with God in this hymn. If you know the song, feel free to sing, but also don't feel any pressure to. If you'd rather just let the lyrics minister to you and do business with God as you feel, as you want to, please do that. So Jesus, as we listen to this song, we pray that you would be our heart's greatest desire, and that all of our affection and desires would be for you, Jesus, going into this year. May our heart's cry be to honor and to worship you. Amen.
You alone desire and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you
back. I really hope and trust that you met with God and that He ministered to you in that moment. Let's move on to the second refrain that kind of popped into my head during the course of this week. It is, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. Now, surrender. It's not necessarily a word that I have a positive connotation with or something I particularly want to do. When I think of surrender, I think around the losing sides in a war or a battle and the cost that comes with their surrender. I think of a time when I was a younger boy and I was at my house and my brother had a friend over, and that friend pinned me down and got me in a noogie. Guys know what a noogie is. He kind of put me down and kept rubbing my head with his knuckle until it was paining, and he said, "You're not going to let me go until I say I surrender." Again, I don't think I didn't surrender in that moment. I think my brother came in time and told him to back off. But yeah, it's not like something that we have a positive association with. In my world, surrendering is for losers, for the weak, for when you admit defeat. Well, welcome to humanity. In and of ourselves, that's us. We are weak. We are losers and unable to overcome sin. We are defeated. But Christ, but Jesus. Remember, that's in and of ourselves, but Jesus. Unlike in the wartime analogy and the example of my brother's friend in the noogie, Jesus knows that surrendering is not to our detriment, but for our ultimate good. When we can acknowledge that in and of ourselves we are incapable, and that we can surrender to Jesus, we will find joy, freedom, and life like we never knew was possible. It is what we were created for, living in submission and surrender to our Creator and Savior. In fact, let us not only surrender our wills and desires to Him, but also our burdens. You don't need to carry them alone. You're not created to carry them alone. Of course, there are some that you need to work through with them, but many of you are actually carrying burdens that you don't even need to carry. For those that you need to sort out and work through, please don't feel like you need to do this alone. There's a community of people, fellowship groups, people who love and care, but also God. He wants to walk in the fire with you, as He did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let Him be with you in your trials and burdens. Let Him in, and I believe it will be a richly rewarding experience, and that you will actually see Jesus in a new and amazing light. So let's allow surrender to characterize our lives this year and forevermore. It's a continual attitude. It's a daily surrender. It's not a, hey, I've surrendered once upon a time. It's a continuing daily surrender and letting go. Once we do that, we can really be used by God in new and exciting ways. Lord Jesus, surrender is tough, and it's certainly not natural for us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to surrender all to You. All to Jesus, I surrender. We need You, we really need Your help in laying down our egos, in laying down our pride, in laying down our hopes and dreams and ambitions, and giving it all to You, God. Won't you just either sing along or just engage with God as we play this next song. Welcome back. Okay, so it's time to share the final song that kind of popped into my head during the course of this week. This is the one I'm going to spend the most time on. In fact, it's the reason that this message has taken the shape it has, because this is the original song that I just really felt God impress on my heart to share specifically with us as a New Gen community going into 2022. But before I tell you what it is, I'm going to share another story. A couple of years ago at a Friday night riot, which is a moment in the life of our high school ministry, we were at the refinery playing a game of sardines. If you don't know what sardines is, it's basically the opposite of hide and seek. So in hide and seek, everyone hides and one person looks for them. In sardines, one person hides and everyone looks for them. And so when someone finds that one person, they hide with that person until basically everyone is hiding in one big clump, hence sardines, and one person is still looking. And so, to make it extra awesome, we made the auditorium here at the refinery pitch black, and we had a strict no torches rule. I mean, it took a lot of time for one's eyes just to even adjust to be able to see a little bit. Now, honestly, the details are a little blurry because it was quite a long time ago, but I'll share what I remember. A couple minutes into the game, we hear there was a painful cry, like a wounded animal, accompanied by a loud thump, followed by a little bit of a hustle and a bustle. And at this point, we realized, yo, we should probably switch on the lights. Now, if you know the refinery well and have ever tried to switch on the lights before, you will know that it is controlled by a little black remote, something like this, about that size, a little bit bigger, and. And needless to say, we were looking for a little black remote in a big black auditorium, and no one knew where the lights were. Eventually, we found the lights, and after scrambling for a little bit, it was apparent that a boisterous young gentleman had run full speed into one of the stage blocks, hence the wounded animal sound that we heard in the dark. Upon close inspection, as we got in to see the damage, there was a proper gaff in his leg. And now I'm not talking about just any gaff. This gaff was one that left the bone well and truly visible. Needless to say, there was a trip to the hospital, and that was the end of our game of sardines, at least for that week. And so, for those of you watching who will be joining Riot this year, or if you're parents of somebody who will be joining Riot this year, I'm happy to say that it's been at least 2, maybe 3 years since our last hospital trip. But that's a story for another time. Also, come to Riot. So I'm telling this story because we all know that if this young guy had a torch, that incident certainly wouldn't have happened. He was running blind, and that's what caused the incident. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In fact, all of Psalm 119, which is, by the way, the longest psalm in the Bible, is about God's word, about his law, and asking for help in order to keep it. It's a prayer to God which sings the praises of his law and reflects on the security and happiness of those we live by. Now, the psalm uses many different words for the word, or many different terms for God's word. It uses law, statutes, precepts, decrees, commands, but by one term or another, God's word and way are mentioned in every verse of this longest chapter in the Bible. One of my favorite features about this chapter is that it's carefully constructed around the 24 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So each letter introduces an 8-verse section or stanza, and each stanza speaks around a fresh aspect of God's law, its beauty and its benefits. And so this is really, it's a literary masterpiece. It's just really cool once you start to look into it. It's really long, but it's really awesome. And so what I'm going to do is, I want us just to emphasize that thing that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But I am going to pick out some key ideas from Psalm 119, which is all around the beauty and importance of God's word and his law. And so the first is that the psalmist, we see that the psalmist delights in God's law. This isn't something that we think we delight in, but he delights. It's a strong word. It thrills him to have God's truth in his mind and God's wise counsel in his heart. Verse 24 says, "Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors." And I really feel like this too should be our attitude towards God's word, that it should fill us with delight and we should get our primary wise counsel from him in his word. The second thing to pick out is that his law or his word is binding and permanent. The permanence is of course expressed by writing them down and preserving them for future generations. Their truth will never lessen and their relevance will never wane. It says in verse 144, "Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding that I may live." The third point I want to pick out from Psalm 119 is that loving God's law is not to be confused with legalism. Legalism binds us in a fearful and obsessive effort in order to do everything correctly. But love for God's law sets us free. His law protects us from the opinions of others and from self-deceit. It steers us away from evil and wrongdoing, from hurtful consequences and guilt. It releases us to do right. It sets us free. Verse 9 says, "How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word." The fourth thing I want to pick out here is that God's laws are a voyage of discovery and delectable delights. We see that the psalmist loves God's law because he loves God. It doesn't start with the law. It actually starts with God himself, and as a result, he loves God's law. He can't get enough of his guidance because it's so, so good. Verses 103 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Sorry, that's verse 18. Then verse 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." And this leads us to kind of what I started with in Psalm 119. This thing that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's the path of life. As we need to make decisions, his word helps help illuminate the path for us. It doesn't mean we don't have to make those decisions, but it just makes the path clearer for us to make decisions. We're all walking a path that's not going to change in 2022. The light of God's word illuminates the path of our lives before us. We still need to decide to go left or to go right, to go over the smooth road or over the rocky road, but the choice becomes clearer when we are in his word. His words give wisdom, wisdom which we could never discover by our own efforts, and yet the simplest person can understand it. Verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words give light." It gives understanding to the simple. And this all seems so amazing and so good, but then I'm so grateful for how the psalmist ends Psalm 119. He ends it just with a bit of humanity and understanding his own weakness. So this is where I want to pick up the last lesson from Psalm 119. He ends his prayer in a cry for help. He knows God's law is good and right, and that he hasn't been able to keep it. He has strayed away and become lost. Sounds so familiar. Like a sheep, he asks that God will be his shepherd and come find him. Verse 176 says, "Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands." So God's law is wonderful, it's permanent, it's true. But it's only with his constant help that we can live by it. Jesus, may we be and fall deeper in love with you and your words to us. May we be a people so full with your word and the life that your spirit brings by it. We cannot do this by ourselves, Lord. Please, please help us, Jesus. Let's enjoy this last song, the last one that popped into my head this week.
Lost my way, still you're there.
guide me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Welcome back. So I realize today might have been some of a mixed mash of ideas, but I've purposely not been too long and really trusting that God would have spoken to each and every one of us through at least one of these truths expressed in these songs. And I really pray that it would be significant and meaningful as we head out into the adventures that 2022 has for us. So with his help, may 2022 be a year where Jesus alone becomes our heart's desires as we long to worship him. May it be a year where we surrender all to Jesus and allow ourselves to be completely loved and led by him. May it be a year where we find ourselves delighting in God's word more than ever before, and as a result being led in great wisdom and being people that have not only a light in our path but also a light to show to the world around us. So may God bless you, may he keep you, and may he make his face to shine upon you and your families in 2022. God bless.